In the United States, there are tens of thousands of Americans who have been injured by the mRNA COVID vaccine. Because of the EUA executive use authorization, they have no recourse in order to address their needs and their concerns from their injuries. The government is doing nothing for them. They are speaking up, and people are telling them it wasn't the vaccine. They're being gaslit. Finally, there is an outlet for their voices. It's a movie called Anecdotals. And my guest today is the filmmaker. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened here on the America Out Loud Network. I was watching a movie just a few days ago, actually about a week ago. It was called The Anecdotals. The Anecdotals movie premiered several weeks ago online. It's a documentary that explores the reality of those injured by the COVID mRNA vaccine. Over the past several months, you have heard from vaccine-injured guests on America Emboldened. And this documentary features a few voices that you'll be familiar with when you view it. However, this documentary is the first of its kind to bring the big picture to light for the casual viewer. And I'm joined today by someone who was also vaccine injured back in March of 2021. Jennifer Sharp is not only an anecdotal, but she is also the writer, director, producer, and editor of the now widely viewed movie, Anecdotals. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited to talk about this.
I'm excited too, although I'm going to just start off and just let you know that by the end of the movie, I was in tears. you had Susanna Newell, who's been on my show, and she's out in Minnesota. She's up on the steps in the wheelchair, and she's talking to people about being Team Humanity. And I promoted React 19, Susanna Newell, which she's been involved with Team Purple. And I found myself in tears watching that because I feel like I get to know these people as I speak with them. And you certainly, I think, can appreciate from speaking with so many people while creating this movie. And so I guess let's start at the very beginning. Who is Jennifer Sharp?
Jennifer Sharp is a filmmaker, and I'm a filmmaker. And honestly, since I was 6 years old, I said I was going to be a filmmaker. I'm one of those rare people who always knew what I was going to do. So that's why, let me start with that first and foremost. And I guess what that means is I've always had this inner creativity and this inner desire to tell stories and be artistic. And like, so that's just kind of where I started from and what I've always wanted. And that path has taken me through a lot of disappointments and excitements. And I've done fiction films. I've done two narrative feature fiction films, you know, one's on Amazon right now, and it's totally different. Like, it's light and it's funny. And, but I always put in all my movies, I always reflect life. There's always like cerebral. Like, I don't know if you know Charlie Kaufman, and he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Adaptation and Synecdoche, and that type of filmmaker that's like really ironically funny in like a cerebral way. That's me.
I love it.
Yeah. So even though I do comedies, because I found that comedy is a good way to deal with subjects, it's always really, you know, really, really deep. So anyway, that's me as a filmmaker. So if you want to fast forward like slightly to when I make Anecdotals, it just only makes sense that if I get vaccine injured and I start seeing the world differently and I see this change, I get this inspiration that is like, I guess I have to make a movie about this, period.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I wanted to follow up. So I saw that Una, great movie, is on Amazon right now. So just, I did my research and I just want to let people know you can support another film as well from Jennifer Sharp. So I heard you mention that. So why not give a little promo and shout out to it? Yeah. Now, what I wanted to ask you was, as you started on this journey to tell about your vaccine injury, was it intentional that you were going to make a documentary, or did this organically grow from what you were collecting as far as interviews and data? You know, where did that focus first come from? Were you like, I've been vaccine injured, I got to make a movie? Or was it, I've been vaccine injured, what am I seeing all around me? I'm documenting it. now, look, I have a bunch of material to make a film, which happened.
Yeah, it was the second. I didn't want to make this documentary, actually. So when I got vaccine injured, very early on, a few people would be like, oh, you should make a movie about this. Like, people love to tell you that if you're a filmmaker, I'll make a movie. And I'm like, no. So Una Great Movie was just released on Amazon, and that I spent 6 years making. So I was like, and now I have to market it. I have to promote it. Now is where you really have to put your stuff into it. Like, once the movie's out is when you really have to. And if I put my energy towards something else, then this last 6 years of my life is for nothing. Like, and I love the movie. I love the movie. Like, I'm really proud of it. So I'm just like, no, I'm not. And number three, if I do a vaccine injury movie, I'm doing all this promoting for Una Great Movie, and I'm doing it amongst, you know, like my friends and people. And like, a lot of my people are on the left. And I'm like, if I start coming out with a documentary about vaccine injuries, like, I'm going to lose all my support for my other films. I know that. I know people who are so excited to support me in my films are going to be like, wait, what are you talking about? And suddenly they're not going to want to see my movies. So that was another reason that I did not want to make this. And it's funny because I say I made this movie in 6 months. Like, when I started, I was like, I'm not spending 6 years on this. You know, this is going to be quick. It's timely. But even though when I finally decided to make it, it was 6 months in the making. I was making it the whole year before, because that's kind of what you do as a filmmaker. Like you said, I'm gathering information. I'm seeing what's happening. I'm empathizing. I'm finding compassion. And as a filmmaker, like, even if you're doing a fiction, but you want to do a movie about the robbery that happened down the street, like, you're taking your time. Who was that robber? What did they do? And as that story seeps into you, you get this inspiration to tell the story. And then you can spend like six years making a movie. And so for me, even the first year when I wasn't making the movie, I was actually making the movie, because that's when the inspiration and everything was coming. It wasn't until January of this year when I lost my second job for not being vaccinated. And even though I had one shot and I had an exemption and I was willing to get tested every single day and they wouldn't hire me, that was when my second job lost. When I was like, well, I'm not making money anyway. It's time for me to make this movie. And that was when I was like, I have to. But I had already done a year's worth of research, because I was in this fight. I was in it.
So you had your first shot, and I don't know if it was Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. Pfizer. Yeah. Okay. So that was March of 2021, which is the same time that I had March 13th, 2021. Tell me what the first 24 hours, 48 hours week was like for you.
It was weird because I was still willing to be like, is this just a reaction from the vaccine? Like, but I couldn't feel my face. So basically I got home. That night I woke up in the middle of the night. My bed was drenched with sweat, like it's never sweat before, like just dripping sweat, but only the left side of my body was sweating. The right side of my body was totally dry, wasn't sweating. The left side of my body had a fever. I mean, it was hot to touch. The right side was cool. I had a headache on the left side of my head and it was really bad, but it stopped on the right side. It was really wild. So, and I got the shot on my left arm. I couldn't feel the left side of my face. So all this went on for pretty strongly for about, I mean, until my next shot, which I didn't get, but 3 weeks later, it's the day before my next shot. And I'm like, I still have this. Oh, my left ankle, my left knee. I had a hard time walking. They were inflamed. They were swollen. There was a lot of pain. I had paresthesia, which is pins and needles. I had numbness, and it was all on the left side. I chipped my tooth big time. Like, I had to go to the dentist and get it repaired because I couldn't feel my gums while I was eating.
Wow.
So it was obviously a vaccine. It was all the left side. And I still was like, well, I was still going on with my life. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm, you know, I was still like, but I was like, I would go to work and be like, oh, I can't feel my face, and kind of laugh about it. And I happened to tell a neighbor, yeah, it's weird. I got the shot and I can't feel my face. And she was like,
normal.
Yeah, perfectly. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, what, I was kind of blowing it off, honestly. Like, it was weird and it was disturbing. But then she actually told me, oh, somebody said the same thing on Nextdoor, which is like the worst, you know, like the biggest, but like, so on Nextdoor. And she put me in touch with this person on Nextdoor who posted she had a reaction, and it was similar to mine. And it turned out it was Denise Hertz, who is this doctor who has started a lot of the things with React 19, and she started a Facebook page. And I called her and she was like, oh no, everybody's calling me. I did an article and now everybody's calling me. We're starting a Facebook group. And I realized, I was like everybody else. I mean, that there was a lot of us and that this was a reaction and this was actually not okay.
You start realizing that there are tens of thousands of people all around the country that are in similar situations. And that's been my realization. And meanwhile, everybody around you makes it sound like, I love your title, anecdotal, that, oh, well, that's just that one person that never happens. There's been 15 billion doses and it's become like this acceptable loss and injury because we know that there's people who have died from the vaccines as well. You know, I spoke with Dr. Peter McCullough just last week about this, as well as Dr. Paul Thomas and many other physicians have spoken to me off the record. They don't want to be on the show. And so, you have this injury, and I just heard you say that January of this past year, a job would not hire you because they considered you unvaccinated. And that is the part that is infuriating to me. And the reason why, you know, I'm still telling these type of stories on the podcast, the reason why I extended my invitation to you, not just because I want others to be aware of your movie, but because this discrimination is still going on, and you, of all people, should be exempt from needing to get a vaccine in order to work based upon the reaction you had. That's basic medical advice that they give to be human and empathetic.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. You're still fighting that.
I asked them too. I was like, well, if I go ahead and get that my second shot, so I can have this job and I've already had a reaction, like, are you going to take responsibility if I end up in the hospital? Nope. Like, oh yeah. Like, well, I can't do it. Like,
yeah. And this is the part that I like about what you raised in the film. I like the fact that as you and I are having this conversation, we can just see the common sense approach of this doesn't make sense. But I speak with other people and they are breaking this into political sides that if you believe that people get injured by vaccines or have died from vaccines, then you're some far right conspiracy theorist. And if you're pro vaccine, then you're pro science. You trust the science, you believe in, you know, the peer reviewed research, and you must be a little bit more liberal leaning. And I don't know where this started in our country, because the irony to me is that Donald Trump started the whole thing with Operation Warp Speed and pushed it out to everybody. And all of a sudden, somehow the left has like taken some moral authority over top of it, where really I just see people that care for human beings that are trying to have this conversation. Like, I sent your film to a few people, and one person who comes on my show regularly said, I'm dubious still of the film. And I know that that person is far left, and it breaks my heart that somebody can't have the empathy to believe these at face value, these words.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I want to go.
Or at least question them. Like, and that's who I made it for. Like, I really made it for people on the left. Like that, like, I want this to be something that can cross borders and, you know, say, hey, this was my experience. Come with me on this. And it's just, but they still like, I mean, what is there not to believe? And even in the film, I say, you don't have to believe me. But why are you so sure about what you think you believe? Like, haven't I at least given you enough questions to question, hey, maybe, what if I am right? That's what I say. Like, what if maybe I'm wrong, but what if I'm right? How about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't believe that you're wrong. There's too much evidence at this point and peer-reviewed evidence. People just aren't looking at it. So this film, how many people did you sit down with over the 6 months? About how many people did you interview?
So it was interesting because I'm in a support group. So I'm in a couple of Facebook support groups, right? So there's thousands. So I would talk to people like just online on the support groups, and also just on a daily basis, like I would go to the Facebook page and see people saying, you know, good morning. Have no idea how I'm going to get through today. My life has been ruined. I just found out that you know, my landlord's kicking me out of my house. I haven't been able to work because my tremors don't stop. I was a nurse and I'm, I don't know how I'm going to survive. And I'm literally like seeing people on a daily basis say, are we ever going to get help? Oh my God, like this is the worst way to live. And I'm just seeing this trauma. So these are all the people that I kind of was like pulling from for the movie. When I actually started interviewing, so many of them would not be in the movie. People are afraid. And I have to say, I'm in the movie. And it wasn't until I finished the movie and watched it all the way through, finished making it, that I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And why am I in this movie? Like, I was like, oh my, like it hit me what I did after I made it. And I was like, I don't want to be in this movie either. Like, I don't want to be the face of this. And I don't want to be. So basically, it became a whole other thing because you get ostracized. And there was somebody who called me and he was like, my life has been ruined. I've lost my job. I have no money. This is the most devastating thing I can imagine. And he told me all this. He goes, but I'm still trying to find work. And I'm trying to find work, you know, when my tremors don't stop, when this happens. And people, as soon as I talk about the vaccine, I get ostracized, like I lose opportunities. And he said, I am just trying to survive. And I cannot risk losing a job because I'm saying I'm vaccine injured, because suddenly I'm a political thing. So that's what I got a lot of, which was really crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, to answer your question, I guess. So then I interviewed who I could. And then I interviewed, I don't know how many, like I'd have to stop and count, but I did a lot of good interviews. I did a lot of Zooms. I only did my doctor, Katie, the rally. I interviewed like six people. I think I did like seven in-person interviews. The rest I did were Zoom. And it was also because I didn't have money. Like this was all my own money. And I mean, I was like, right. I'm making this and I reached out to a few people and was like, I've met along the way and was like, you know, I'm doing this movie. I'm only going to make it for the money that I have. I'm not going to go broke for this one. Like I did my last one. I mean, I'm still broke from the last one. So I ended up getting some money, and with the money I got, I was able to do like the seven in-person interviews, which was great.
The life of an artist, right? We do things for the love of what we do. I mean, this podcast is really a great example of for the love of it. I mean, 200,000 people will likely listen to this. That stated, I don't see 200,000 coming in.
Right. Exactly. But you have to make that choice.
You
and
do,
what you're doing
you do.
Is so great. Yeah. What you're doing is so great.
Well, and so, you know, I completely understand the whole professional risk. I'm a high school teacher. I teach audio, radio, and video broadcast engineering. My degree's in television and film. So You and I come from a little bit of the same world. But I made the choice a while ago with having two children to settle down and to be in a classroom and teach this. And when I started the podcast, there's a lot of people that told me I tiptoe a fine line. And I said, I'm not trying to tiptoe a fine line. I'm just trying to tell truth. And I felt that that's where this documentary comes out. It's not trying to tiptoe a fine line. You present both sides. You, on your website, anecdotalsmovie.com, you can go and see the references of the peer-reviewed studies that were done in order to support the vaccine, as well as the peer-reviewed studies that have been critical of the vaccine. It's very balanced. And so when we come back from break, Jennifer, I want to talk a little bit more about what we learned, or what you learned specifically while making the movie, as well as about a little bit of doctors and those that are hesitant. I want to get a little further into that. Everyone, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and my special guest, Jennifer Sharp, the director, producer, writer, editor of The Anecdotals Movie, here on the America Out Loud Network. We'll be right back.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. and we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We are with Jennifer Sharp, who I believe made one of the best documentaries of 2022. And it's a documentary that you can see right now on anecdotalsmovie.com. It's streaming right on Jennifer's website. And I believe that this should be required viewing for every single person in the world. Why? Because it will help you with your compassion for other people, that it will take somebody that's saying that they're vaccine hesitant and put it in a different light for why they may feel that way. And so Jennifer and I were speaking about why she created this movie. And we now know that Jennifer herself was vaccine injured. And she interviewed plenty of people through Zoom as well as in person, compiling this movie over 6 months that just was released. Now, Jennifer, I know that you had to have learned so many things that you never knew you were going to learn, not just about yourself, but about others and the vaccine while you were making it. What were some of your key takeaways while compiling the film?
So I'll start with the less emotional answer. I have two. So the least emotional of it all, I learned a lot about the doctors and how the doctors were being treated, and the FDA and the CDC and just the whole history of that. And I really didn't know, like I really did. I didn't trust the CDC and FDA, but I didn't know they were married to pharmaceuticals like they are. Like, I didn't know that the FDA is a revolving door, that, you know, most of the people who work for the FDA, or not most, but like a big percentage, end up going and working, retiring from FDA and working at the pharmaceutical companies that they regulated. You know, like people are now saying, well, Fauci's retiring, so who wants to bet that in 2 years he won't be working for Moderna? Like thing, and now that actually doesn't sound so crazy. Let's see where Fauci ends up making, you know, $2 million a year after this. Like, but it's, even if that doesn't, like, that happens, and it happens, and also that the FDA sponsors vaccines, like the NIH sponsors vaccines, like these government companies. So like the NIH, if they sponsor, what they'll have their scientists work with the Moderna scientists on a vaccine, not just this one. And when it does well, they get all the proceeds. They get not all of them. They get a proceed from the profits. So for example, the COVID vaccine, there are NIH people who are getting profits from COVID because there were scientists from the NIH who helped develop the COVID, the Moderna vaccine. And the question becomes, what I couldn't find, and I've heard people say, like, I think Dr. Cariardi talks about this a lot, but I tried to look up every fact in the movie, and he talks about how there are six members of the NIH that are getting residuals or from Moderna. I looked that up. The only thing I could find, I have to say, but I don't doubt him, I'm sure he knows, but what I could find is that what the NIH does is they put a blanket over it, where they're like, any residuals that come from Moderna go to the company, like they go back to the company. Okay. So that way no individual is benefiting. That's what I found. But even still, there's a lot of gray area in that. So does someone get a Christmas bonus? Does someone get, like, they're basically the profits from, and it's not just COVID. It's like the way all of these NIH, FDA, they're all intertwined, and they all have, so that was like the biggest thing I learned, which I was like, wow. And then seeing how the doctors have been censored, the doctors aren't allowed to do things. You know, when everybody started getting big on ivermectin, I didn't know what ivermectin did and was, and neither did any of my friends, but they were still posting that it was horse paste and people were stupid for taking it. And I would be like, why are you posting this? Like, you don't even know what ivermectin is. Like, do you need to put hateful things on your Facebook page about a drug you don't understand? And then I would look up ivermectin, I would look it up and be like, hey, this doesn't seem so bad. It's a protease inhibitor. It inhibits the replication of the protein. Like it does that. Like, so it makes sense that it could work. It might not, but you know, like I started questioning. So that was a lot of like the, and that actually takes me directly into the second part of my answer, which is the emotional part of it. What I learned. I learned how irrational and unreasonable some of the most intelligent people in my life are. The people that I know that I are smart, went to Ivy League colleges, and they're intellectuals and they discuss and debate everything and they listen to NPR and, you know, like I did, you know, and how they're so reasonable and suddenly they're totally not reasonable and totally not willing to question their own thoughts and just want to argue. And when I would bring up things that I knew, because I'm immersed in this like 24/7 for the last year, and they're like, well, but, and it's like, you don't have to argue with me. You can say, hey, I have 4 kids and a life, so I don't have time to obsess about this COVID stuff like you do. So I'm sorry if I don't know the information you know, and then back out. And then I'll be like, okay, well, I don't have kids and I'm totally obsessed, so I can tell you what I've learned. And instead of them listening to the information that I've learned, they were just still wanting to fight me on this. And well, the Spanish flu, and, you know, bring up the things that they know. And that blew my mind. That blew my mind. So and obviously I come from the left, I'm liberal, whatever that means, but I'm definitely not conservative, you know? So I always thought it was the people on the right who were irrational about things and not empathetic about things. I did think that. And then when I saw like my people on the left being exactly the same way, that was a big lesson for me. And then I had to check myself. Like, when have I been like that in the past myself? What did I think I knew? When I was like, you know, not liking Trump supporters and being like, oh, they've, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, you've got to be racist because, you know, all this stuff. Like, what did I really know? What did I really know? Who do I really know who's a Trump supporter? Like, how can I say these things?
Yeah, there's a lot to address in what you just said that I think is excellent. So first, I agree with you. I've had to love people a lot stronger over the past 2 years. And when I say love people, I say to my friend a lot, like, I went to the same college, you know, some of my friends were all in the same type of more liberal industries. And I go, how did I turn out so different than the other people that I'm friends with? And yet, how did all these people start painting me as this far right guy once I got this podcast, when I'm sitting there going, I haven't changed. I'm telling people that Trump might get indicted and that's okay, that he took files. I'm telling people that Trump probably hasn't had everybody's best interest at heart. And I'm going, when did that ever get me labeled as being right? But it all came down to when I started talking about vaccines. And I don't know. I like you, have looked at the science. I have the blessed ability to bring on some of the smartest doctors and have conversations with them because I'm blessed to be in this position to talk with a ton of very talented people that are much more intelligent than I am. But when I try to address some of what gets presented to me with others, people will talk over me. People won't give me the ability to finish a sentence. Because they're almost afraid to be challenged on what they know. And right before we start our interview, and you know, it's one of my common themes, it's humility, right? It's the humility to be able to say, I was wrong. And I need to understand where I went wrong to be so held on to this core belief that others around me didn't see. And so I can think of nothing more compassionate, nothing more empathetic than dedicating the last 6 months of your life to try to tell the stories of people who have been suffering with no recourse in the world, as well as people who have been suffering that have been belittled, people that have been felt unlistened to, has led to their depression. In some cases, we know it's led to suicide. And so I am, you know, that's the reason why I wanted to bring you on today, because I think that you're doing some of the most important work of the last few years with your film. And I'm curious, as people have been watching this film, what are you hearing from the vaccine injured? What are you hearing from people that have finally watched that didn't know this was a reality? What's the feedback coming back into your email box? What are you hearing from friends and family?
So first of all, great question. And I'm bringing this up. So vaccine injured, this was a huge thing. I didn't think that I would understand. I wasn't expecting this. The outpouring from vaccine injured has been amazing, to the point where I'm like, okay, I did a good thing. Like, I have no question. So I got this email today from a complete stranger, and I took a picture of it. And it says this, it says, "Oh, Jen, I'm 6 minutes into this and I'm crying my eyes out. When that man said he felt, quote, abandoned. And when you said, quote, now I trust no one, I felt like I was being heard for just about the first time since all this began for me in May of 2021. Bless you for making this film and making me feel less alone." And I have gotten so many emails like that from vaccine injured people. So if nothing else, people who want to be skeptical about the film, oh, maybe it's still skeptical or like whatever, like the point of the movie isn't your intellect. The point of the movie is actually doing things to make people feel less alone. People are committing suicide still every day, probably not every day, but the last 5 weeks, three people I know have committed suicide from my group. So this is a really serious issue. And so as far as the vaccine injured people, they have just overwhelmingly reached out, told me their stories, thanked me for making them not feel alone. A mother of a child who's vaccine injured reached out to me and was like, "Now I feel like maybe there's hope for my son. Thank you." So that's been amazing. So this is interesting, but I'm actually waiting until the new year to tell the people in my life I even made this movie. This is crazy, but
you don't think they know at this point?
No. People, I've told some people, but okay, they don't know. Like so some people do, some immediate people do, but the most of the people don't know, because I know they're closed-minded. And I say I need to come out of the closet. Like, I need to do it gently. Like, you can't just come out. Because if I just went on Facebook, like, everybody watched my movie, people would be like, oh, God, you know, she's injured, so she thinks this, and they'll get in their things. And I'm like, I'm not coming out on Facebook. Like, I'm coming out individually. So I've slowly sent texts to like people like, I made this movie. And it's interesting. I've never been in a place where I've made a movie I'm afraid to share. But it's truth. Wow. And I really want people to listen. And this is how I'm approaching it, one at a time. And then I feel like everybody's so, and then I've even done that and reached out to some people and they're like, oh, okay, I'll definitely watch it. You know, I have some things for the holidays, but I'll watch it after. So I decided I'm going to wait until after the holidays. And that's when I'm going to approach the skeptics. That's when I'm going to, I don't know yet but I have had people who have shared it with people who were skeptical, and they're like, no, they were like, this is great. They're sharing it with other people. A lot of the people in the vaccine on our side who know what's happening have watched it, and I've gotten really, really great reviews. I've even gotten a few, you know, hate from both sides. Right. So I've gotten some people say, who obviously didn't watch the movie. Like, this person actually, in fact, I think he said he didn't watch the movie even. It was on Twitter. Twitter is a really stressful place. And he was like, this movie is doing harm. It's nothing, you know, none of these reactions have even been proven by science and doctors. They're not, we don't know they're real. And all this movie is doing is spreading misinformation and harm. And then I've also gotten, on the other side, people who have literally called out people in my movie as morons and idiots for having gotten vaccinated in the first place.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, before you went there, I was like, all right, I'm part of the coming out party here. This is great. You know, I'm helping you come out.
Yeah, you are. You're the coming out. You're my coming out party. This is totally.
I'm glad to be your coming out friend. The show just took a left turn real quick. I love it. Wow. But the you know, Twitter and social media, it's such a toxic environment. I never did Twitter until this show. I wasn't a part of it. And it's funny because, you know, I to this day, I have people go, why don't you follow people? I'm like, if I bring value to you each day, feel free to follow along. I'm not going to post much. I'll post my shows each day, maybe a couple other things. That's it. I'm not here to have my life taken up by Twitter and social media, but I've seen it. I've seen where it gets toxic, but I can't believe that there are people out there that would attack people at their lowest of low. Yeah. You know, I've had people say to me, well, why'd you get vaccinated? You know? And I'm like, well, I'm a teacher and I felt like I had to get vaccinated because I was going to be around students that were going to have family members that I felt were vulnerable. And I felt like I was doing the right thing. That I was, you know, doing my part to keep other people safe. And then people are like, well, weren't you critically thinking? And it's like, well, yeah, actually I was reading all the studies. I actually said to the technician before they put into my arm, I'm nervous about this. And the technician said, don't you trust the science? And I got very angry and I was like, just put the damn thing in my arm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, that this whole berating people in one way or the other, have you thought and meditated on where this comes from now that you're in the thick of it?
Ooh, I think that's something that I need to do is meditate on that. But it comes from hate. It comes from, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, and whatever hate is, it comes from fear. It comes from not having humility and compassion. And, you know, people are like, anybody was an idiot who got vaccinated. It's like, no, like we just came from something none of us had been through, a lockdown. Like I listened to the Geert Vanderhurt 1.5 hour thing before I got vaccinated, where he talked about the spike protein and long COVID and don't vaccinate elite with a leaky vaccine during a, like, I knew that. And I was like, this actually seems true. And I kind of like what he's saying, but there's also other doctors that are saying great things too. So it was a point where I called it choose your own adventure. Like you can find really good science to support either side.
Come on, Jennifer. I never had a good choose your own adventure book growing up. I always died five different ways.
It's the ultimate choose your own adventure. COVID 2020, COVID 2021, yep. Choose your own adventure. And then, like, it's true. You get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. I had a reaction. Should I get a second shot? I don't know. Should I get a fake card? I don't know. Should I, like, you choose your own adventure because there's information for whatever you want. I also know somebody, you also want to, you know, even you might not believe in science, but you want to be hopeful of it. So you do it and it's okay. Like I know someone whose brother died of COVID. Her brother died of COVID early on. So she was the first one to sign up for the Moderna trial. Is she an idiot for trusting science and signing up for the trial? No, she knew it was a trial, but she's a hero actually. You know, like I think people who signed up for the trial were their hero, like, you know, and even people who were like, yeah, I'll get vaccinated. Okay, great. The mandates were the problem, but like, sure, show us what you're willing to do this and you're willing to sacrifice your body. Like, you know, I got vaccinated. I was never sure. Like I was not happy. I was like, okay, this is weird, but it seemed to be like the best. There was reasons to do it because of society and stuff. And it just seemed to be our only option to maybe go back to normal. And it didn't work. And the biggest thing isn't that, like, oh my God, boy, was I fooled. The biggest fool though, is that, oh, I was hurt and nobody's helping me. Like, I think a lot of us were aware we could have an injury. We were aware something could go wrong, but we actually thought that the government would help us, that the FDA would recognize us, that the CDC would recognize that there are reactions. I mean, that's, I guess, where maybe you're a fool if you didn't realize how, I don't know, like, you know, but like just getting the vaccine, I don't think anybody's a fool for getting the vaccine. Everybody has reasons and there are things we didn't know.
Right. Well, on the flip side of this break, why don't we talk about the fact that people do not have any recourse if they're vaccine injured? And I think that just another reiteration, we are not anti-vaccine. We want safe vaccines and we want people to be protected should something go wrong, especially when our government is working on this. You know, I want your government to protect you, not to harm you, and then go, good luck. All right, everybody, we're going to continue that conversation on the opposite side of the break. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden, my special guest, Jennifer Sharp, on the America Out Loud Network. Be right back.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're having a wonderful conversation with Jennifer Sharp, the filmmaker of Anecdotals, the movie. And you can go to anecdotalsmovie.com to be able to check this out. If something that Jennifer or I have said that's kind of piqued your interest and you're like, I'd like to see this now, you can start watching it now, pull it up while the podcast is going and get it queued up and ready to roll. Right before the break, Jennifer pointed out something that is really, I think, the focus of the film when it comes down to it. It's the fact that once people are injured by this vaccine, that because of the executive use authorization, the EUA that was put into place, those that are vaccine injured have no recourse, nor has there been any studies to try to figure out what mechanism it may be that's causing the injuries. And they've discredited their own system, VAERS, which was in operation for decades, and now it's been discredited as, oh, well, everybody was just piling on in order to spread misinformation. And as a result, we do not have meaningful data about the injured. But what we do know is that there has been tens of thousands of people that have been injured, and likely five times that amount due to the fact these go underreported by a factor of five times. And people have studied that as well. So Jennifer, as you've done this film, is there hope? Is there hope that there could be compensation? There could be change? Is anyone contacting you? Did you have any politicians reach out to you during filming, after filming? Where does this stand? What's next? Are we going to see people get some protection?
So politicians, one of our goals is to show this to legislators. So we're working in Massachusetts and Maryland. I had a screening already in Wisconsin, in Minneapolis, where we were trying to bring legislators in. The legislators who are interested and who have seen it. And so we actually were effective. We've had some legislators watch it, have been the people who already believe this. Like, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so we're really trying to get it to legislators on the other side to understand, hey, this is happening. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if there's a chance that there's going to be change. Like, I don't know. That's what my hope is with this movie. And the question is, like, how do we do that? And it really becomes getting out of the echo chamber and onto the other side. And I know that's the problem. And so this movie has already been taken down from YouTube a day after it was posted for misinformation. On Christmas Day, Vimeo canceled my entire account without warning. I didn't get a warning. I didn't get anything. They said, we have terminated your account for misinformation and violating our policies. They took everything down and they terminated the account. So anything that's like mainstream, and then they can't tell you what's misinformation. And I asked them. So I've spent 3 months and $10,000 with a lawyer to fact check everything in this movie. And because I'm like, this has to be bulletproof. Like there has to be like, so I know there's no misinformation in this movie, unless you want to talk about Fauci, who actually says in the movie that if you get vaccinated, you will not get COVID. He says that, and he says it in the movie, and he says it on YouTube. And so does Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC. That's in the movie. That is misinformation, true. But that misinformation is still on YouTube. So that's not what they're talking about. So that's really, really frustrating. And I actually just on that censorship thing, it's just kind of like, well, this is really, this is not okay. Like this movie can't be seen by the mainstream. And I post about it and people are like, oh, just put it on Rumble. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's on Rumble. That's not the point. The point is, why can't this be seen in the mainstream? Why aren't the left-leaning legislators like educating themselves? And why do so many people on the left or in the mainstream or whatever think that these don't exist? Because they're not allowed to see it. You know? So I hope there's going to be change. I hope there's going to be change, but I'm not sure. Like, I mean, well, we're working to make that happen.
You know, I'm going to hedge my words here to say I'm skeptical of Elon Musk. I'm not a Elon Musk fanboy 100%. That stated, I'm hopeful that seeing the independent journalist over the past month open up the Twitter files, show us that propaganda has been spread on COVID, as well as election information from both sides. The Trump administration, it sounds like, was violating First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration's been doing the exact same thing. Our FBI has weaponized against Americans. This has gone to YouTube. It's gone to Google, Facebook, Twitter, all the social companies. And what you're experiencing with YouTube is identical to what's being shown in the Twitter files as misinformation and how it gets labeled and why they take it down. It's also the reason why my friends, that when I have guests like yourself and others that will talk about what's being censored, say, no, that's not being censored. No, well, it must have been censored for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, well, they didn't get that wrong. And instead of going, all right, let's check the peer reviewed studies, you know, my show tomorrow, it's my New Year's show on Friday. And my guest will make the statement, double downing on this entire thought process of being closed minded and not wanting to look at what truth is. And I said, out of my guests, they cited a ton of peer-reviewed studies. How many of those peer-reviewed studies did you look up before you said that this person was spreading misinformation, was dangerous? And they changed the topic. And I said, so that's zero. You've looked up none.
Yeah.
And that's the same with your film. You have an entire resource section on your website.
Yes.
Somebody's going, misinformation. Oh, no, look, there's the study right there. We have the
proof. No, every single study on the website, every single YouTube video referenced, every single print headline is on the website on the reference page. So if you're like, wait, who said that? It's in chronological order. And the only thing I didn't have on it actually was like, I didn't have like the Fauci saying, like the little sound bites from CNN and stuff. And then I actually realized that I want that on there so I can say everything's on there. So we last like 3 days ago updated the website to put everything on the website. So even like Howard Stern saying everybody's an idiot for not getting vaccinated, there is a link you can click to hear that clip. You know, Don Lemon saying his thing about, you know, they're idiots and they deserve to be outcasts. You can click on that and watch the entire news clip. So you can't say it's been taken out of context. You can watch the entire thing. On both sides, I have references of every single thing in the movie. So it's there. And people don't listen. They just want to argue.
And I will continue making these episodes until people argue nicer.
Yeah,
right? Until those silos come down. That's my mission. That's the whole point of the show.
Well, in the Twitter, like you said Elon Musk, but like, so, and in the Twitter thing, and I don't know about Elon Musk or whatever, but I do know that like all day, like it's a little too much. Like every day there seems to be these Twitter spaces where doctors are now talking. Steve Kirsch actually got to debate a doctor on the other side yesterday, right? So there's all this really healthy debate happening. There was another one today where there were doctors on both sides. And actually it was really, it was hard to listen to. Like it's hard because we're not used to like having to be nice and under, you know, and like be patient. But it's really awesome. Like there's no other place in the world in cyberspace where people are coming together and talking about vaccine stuff so much and trying to include both sides. And that's happening on Twitter right now. And that's actually really amazing. So, I mean, for what it's worth, the uncensoring that Musk has done, like to the, and then he's allowing this discourse is really interesting. And like the, what I listened to today, there were doctors on both sides. Of course, most of the people are still more on the, they've woken up, they know what's happening as far, you know, they're on, you know, but there's, but they always make sure to have other people. And there was a doctor on there today and on yesterday who was like, no, actually this stuff isn't true and isn't this. And we have to be able to talk about this. And like, that's the only place we can do it.
I was on last week with Dr. Robert Malone on a space, and a few people were brought up to be speakers. And one of them started telling him he was wrong. And people pointed out that he's one of the co-inventors of mRNA technology. And the person started saying that's not true. And here's Dr. Robert Malone, who is literally one of the co-inventors.
Yes.
He worked with the team. And this guy is discrediting. And somebody pulled up rather quickly. And this is what I love about the internet. They said to this gentleman, they go, you know, sir, I have this commercial here that you're doing a commercial for Moderna and you're an official public relations person for them. Would you say that that's true or not? And he wouldn't answer the question.
Wow.
So people started sharing it and posting the link. And sure enough, there he was. And it's interesting the lengths that the PR teams will go to try to discredit, to keep face at this point in time. Yeah. And they're using Twitter spaces for that as well. And I think that that's important to be aware of. I want to focus back on your movie because as we wrap up today, I think it's really important that people watch it. And so since it's not on YouTube now, it's no longer on Vimeo, you can still see it at anecdotalsmovie.com. And I want to get this spreading. And you said one of your goals was for all of legislature to be able to see this film, to make sure that our Congress, our senators, as well as local government should see it as well. We need to come up with some type of hashtag today. We need a way that when this interview drops, we can start sharing it and we can make sure that we get the attention of DC. So maybe like anecdotal DC, maybe that's a hashtag we can start for this episode. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Anecdotals, plural.
Anecdotals DC. Yeah.
Yeah. Anecdotals DC. And like, get legislators like watch this. And you know, we do hashtag anecdotals for like whatever. I mean, for a bunch of different things, but something more specific. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Like we got to figure out how to do this. We got to figure out how to get this across. And I just, you know, it's like mainstream media, you know, left wing, you know, I've been trying to like, you know, get on NPR. I just think that'd be a great place to have a discussion and have me on and let's talk about this movie. And, you know, it's just, how do we do this? That's the big question right now. And yeah, hashtag anecdotals DC. And let's like get legislators, people tell your legislators, and let's spread this. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're listening today and you came through by Twitter, or even if you're on the America Out Loud website, I'll make sure that I have that hashtag in the show description. So what I'd like you to do is put that as your hashtag. Put that out. And then I want you to tag your local state representatives, as well as whoever your state representatives are. So check what state you're in and make sure you tag them. It doesn't matter if they're right, they're left, they're independent. It's important that you tag them and make sure that they're able to see this, because this is a story about America. This is a story about Americans who felt that they were doing the right thing. And they did do the right thing, but it had a horrible consequence on their health. And they need to be heard. They need to be seen. And we need to start thinking about what can we do in order to try to make things right to the best of our ability, in order to be sincere about public health. because this is as much of a public health issue as COVID was.
Right.
And so as we're coming out of this pandemic, and I say we're coming out of it because I'm quite confident that we are, we're seeing now that I've been in a high school setting and it's been a completely different year in 2022 than 2021, even leading up to the holiday season. So I think that we're in a much better place. So Jennifer, what's next for you?
So right now I'm in the throes of this Anecdotals movie and like really trying to figure out the censorship thing is really, really bothering me. So I've been thinking of changing since YouTube took down my video, I'm thinking about making the YouTube page for Anecdotals more titled Misinformation on YouTube. Starting to collect things that are actually on YouTube that are misinformation that they're not censoring. So I'm still have this kind of activist vibe, but I also have, and I also just want to be clear too, the movie is free and we made it free with no ads so that everybody can watch it. It's easy to share. But I do have another fiction film that I want to make. Like that's what I love making is, you know, that I was hoping to shoot this movie in Ohio at the end of next summer. So that's kind of a hope, and I have to like spend some time with the script and like keep creating. So I want to keep creating, but I've right now been sidetracked by this monster in front of me, which is Anecdotals, and getting these great responses, making me realize how important what I did is and how important it is to take this time right now to really try to get people to watch it and get people to share it. Like if you let, you know, if you like it, you believe in it, is there anybody in your life that you could share this with that's been skeptical the whole time that you could say, hey, for me, watch this movie. It's personal experiences. It's not going to beat stuff in your face about, you know, theories, and it's not telling you how to think, it's just showing. And so getting people like, we're on board now, can we each give it to one more person and ask that person nicely, hey, please watch this.
Well, my listeners, if you're not watching afterwards, stop listening to my podcast and go watch it right away. especially Thank to support you. Those voices that have been on the show previously. Yeah. Jennifer, I'm looking forward to keeping in touch and finding out how this all goes. You did mention something just now that I want to ask a follow-up question to before we go. So you put this movie out for free. I put a podcast out for free every single day, but I have real bills. And luckily I have my teaching job that helps me cover those real bills. That all stated, this is still another 40-hour a week job putting together my show. I can imagine that this movie took great time and resources, and that was putting you at great professional risk. How can my listeners, people that find the movie, help support you to make sure that you can continue to feed yourself and be professionally sound moving forward to make the projects that you want to make coming into the summer?
Thank you. That I appreciate the question. So on the website, there actually is a donate page. And I'm like, even if you think the movie was worth a $10 movie ticket, like I'm giving it to you for free, but at the end, you're like, I'd spend $10 on that movie. $10 movie ticket. There's a donate link on my website where you can donate or an address. So that is one way. If you have more than 10, if you have less than 10, it doesn't matter, you know, so that because it is free. The other thing, if you don't want to do that, like you could actually watch Una Great Movie like that. That's my movie that actually is out there trying to make a little bit of money on the internet. It's on Amazon Prime. So it's free on Amazon Prime, or you can rent it. If you don't have it on Amazon, you can rent it. So you can rent it or just let the movie play all the way through because I get paid for as long as people watch it. That's Una Great Movie on Amazon. So that's like supporting my past movie. So those are the two great ways that you could also just sharing this movie and getting it more widely known might connect me with, you know, cause I am a filmmaker. Like it's what I do. And that's why I was able to make this movie for as cheap as I could. I did all the editing, I did all the writing, I did all the technical stuff, but I do know what I'm doing as a filmmaker and I do like to make thoughtful, good movies. So I would appreciate any support. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I wish you all the best and all the success for your creative visions in the future. But I thank you most importantly, as I tried to earlier, of just telling the important stories of those that have silent voices. And so thank you on behalf of all those that have been suffering in silence for helping to shed some light onto their stories. It's much appreciated. And thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful. I appreciate it.
Glad you're here. Well, everybody, it's been another wonderful episode. Wow, what a week we have had here on the show. I know it's been a shortened week. I took 2 days off and then you just get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. But I'm so glad that I was able to bring Jennifer to you. Make sure you go check out that movie one more time, anecdotalsmovie.com. Everyone, we hope that we honored your time well today. I know that it's precious and we appreciate you being here with us. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and my special guest, Jennifer Sharp, here on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.